Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Real Talk with the number one doctor. Real Talk with the number one doctor. Dr. Harris, Dr. Kennedy, out of Atlanta, Georgia. The ATL. That's right, the ATL. Dr. Harris, West Coast, from Mississippi, Fresno. Better known as Sandwalk. We had a little bit of feedback here. We had to look into that. Again, we are over with Rev. Harris, Real Talk, the number one doctor, Dr. Harris, Dr. Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Dr. Harris out of the West Coast. But I don't know what's going to happen. Day before, a couple of days, we had Dr. California, who was jumped on by a bunch of mobs, road cops. And then, right after that, you know, it's just the ball just rolls. Then down in Visalia, a couple of days later, we had the Tulare Sheriff's Department shoot an 82-year-old lady. They shot her, I believe, twice. And then the next couple of days, going on in Los Angeles, California. I mean, that's a pretty big area, pretty big city. L.A. is, you know, where the Rodney King incident happened. Down in that area. The Lakers, the Clippers, you know. So, what is going on now in Los Angeles? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Los Angeles just declared a state of emergency on homelessness in Los Angeles, California. Can you believe that? Homelessness. Now, let me get this straight. I've heard of state of emergency in, you know, California right now. We have a bunch of fires mountain. Now, I heard of calling a state of emergency that. I heard of, you know, across the country when you have tornadoes just come out and wipe out a whole community, level everything. You know, everything is rubbish. You know, I've heard of that. And also heard of floods. I heard of floods that, you know, come in and wipe out homes and houses. This is my first time in my 45 years of living that I've ever heard a city calling a state of emergency on homelessness. I mean, what's really going on here in America? I mean, so what I want to do is I want to read you what we posted on our radio show. It says, Los Angeles officials say they will declare a state of emergency on homelessness and propose spending one to Los Angeles. I have. It was a horrible experience. But that's a whole other story. But I was able to go down Skid Row. And I was just after probably about 2 years. And I was, you know, I really, you know, was just getting involved in community activism or whatever. And I was able to visit, walk down Skid Row, where this certain area of Los Angeles is known just for homeless people to hang out. It's kind of like a central location. Churches come down with buses, pick up those for services, and, you know, what have you. But so I'm going to read some more. It says, City Council President Herb Weston, member of the council, homelessness and poverty, Mayor Eric. Announced a plan Tuesday outside of City Hall as homeless dug nearby on the lawn. Emergency declaration. The funding will require action by the full City Council. Weston did not specify. However, his office said the first rollout of the project for January 1st. Go for permitting housing shelter. Officials say they hope to have a draft of strategic on homelessness. Now, that's what I woke up with. This city, or the major city, Los Angeles, which is huge. Los Angeles is huge with all the surrounding cities. And don't forget that Los Angeles have Hollywood, which that's where all the, rich people live. Now, I'm sitting here thinking now, how can Los Angeles call a state of emergency when you have all that wealth in Los Angeles? All that wealth. Movie stars, football team, basketball team, baseball team. I mean, come on. Give me a break. How is it that you can have declared a state of emergency on homelessness? This is my first ever hearing. I mean, why did it take so long? I mean, or was it here and people just ignored it, turned a blind eye? Those people out on the streets are out there just because they want to be out there. I don't think so. Maybe there may be some. But there's a lot of people who are homeless because they lost their job. A lot of people are homeless because they lost their home. And we have families on top of families on top of families who are homeless. I know this for a fact. We have people who have homes that are homeless. Say that again. I know people who have homes, a roof over their head, but they're really homeless. They really can't afford a home, but they're there. I mean, this society has gone just crazy. Just crazy. I mean, we have families now that have, when, coming up, used to have husband, wife, maybe. Now, in 2015, September 23rd, 2015, at 3:10 p.m., we have four or five families living in one household. You hear what I said? Four or five families living in one household. That's how bad it has gotten. Because there's no work. There's no job. People are hungry. But if you look at the economy in California, you're all right now. Listen to me good. Do not come to California poor. Listen, it is illegal to be poor in California. Trust me when I say that. It is a crime. And don't come to Fresno. Whatever you do, do not come to Mississippi Fresno. Do not come to this city, because if you are poor or homeless, you don't have nowhere to stay. Trust me. Be hassled and arrested and told on foot. That's the kind of city that I live in. I live in a city that tore down just came in with bulldozers. No due process, no plan, no action. They just dismantled. Where are the people going to go? The politicians, Alan Austin. Started this crap talking about demolition of homeless shelters. And taxpayers violated the constitutional rights of court. Just because a person don't have a bond, don't think they're a bad person. Just because a person don't have a home, don't need to be a bad person. We have homes and have cars. We have the worst heart, the worst attitude. It's whatever. This is what we're talking about. How did they were all God? How did black, white, brown, all God? all of us. But that doesn't happen. Not at this government. That doesn't happen. To top it off, I mean, I really have the utmost respect for what I have. He's a good brother. And I'm like, wow. Finally have someone stepping up saying, no, I'm not going to go another day. Come up with a plan of action. At least work for some power. Get folks up. It's not healthy living on the street. It's not healthy at all. It's not healthy for our women. Think about our women. It's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for a man, but especially a woman. There's things that happen to her body that you have to take care of. I mean, have you ever went without taking a bath for a have you ever went and have not been able to eat? Have you stayed up? Do you really know what that feels like? You have to stay up all night watching over your back. You know. I mean, I really feel for women to a home stop. You know, I go places. That could be me. That could be me at the gas station asking for a quarter. That could be me at the gas station asking, can I bring your window? I mean, at least they're providing a service instead of walking up trying to take your purse. I mean, can you respect that, at least that much of the homeless police? I mean, look at Fresno. Fresno homeless community won a national award. Why does the homeless recycle? Do you understand? They were recycling during the night. Keep the streets clean so they could put money. But we don't even give the homeless community any credit, even though they're down and out on their luck or whatever the case may be. But many of us look at them, turn our head, but you know what? That could be you one day. That could be your daughter. That could be your son. That could be your grandson. That could be any family member in your family. So don't disrespect homeless people when it comes in front of you. If you have something in your pocket to give them, give it to them. Just give it to them. I mean, what is it going to hurt? You know, I hear people say, oh, well, yeah, you need to go out and get a job. Well, you know what? I know people right now who have doctor degrees, master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, and can't even get a job. So don't tell me because someone is homeless that they need to go get a job. Yes, they need work. Why do you think they're asking to clean your window? Do you have any cans? You see them looking in the garbage can. You could probably have some cans or bottles in your car to give them, but you're so stuck up and caught up in society of judging people. They're human beings just like you and I. They're human beings. They bleed just like us. They drink water just like us. They go to the restroom just like us. God didn't make you no better than he made a person that's homeless on the street. And it just bothers me when I see this type of stuff wrong, how homeless people are disrespected. Disrespected. Just because they don't have brand new clothes on and driving a car, and maybe they're pushing a shopping cart, you don't even have the respect enough to respect them by just
thing. God bless you. I don't have anything to give you, but God bless you. How hard is that? See, we have Christians. See, the problem I have in this country now is that we have all these so-called Christian politicians. Every time they want to run for office, the first place they run to is the church. Talk about how holy and thou they are. Vote for me. Cutting deals with the pastors in the back room. This is what's this is why this show is called Real Talk, because we keep it real. We don't sugarcoat anything. And when we have mayors and city council people and supervisors who are heartless to homeless people, that's why the Bible says, when you do unto the least of mine, you do unto me. And that's why real pastors like myself, people like Dr. Kennedy, we have to speak truth to power. We don't care if you like us or not. It has nothing to do with you liking us. We have an oath to God to stand for what's right and to speak truth. An old mayor here in Fresno, Ashley Squarin, to talk about she's a Christian. Well, I'm not questioning her faith. I'm not questioning her faith. We have Dr. Jean Kennedy on the line. We're going to chime in here real quick on this topic here. But I you know, when I have a mayor like Ashley Swearington, who I believe her husband is a pastor or something like that, and then here she go keep the same legacy as Alan Autry did to destroy homeless people, but don't have an alternative for it, and now we got people walking all around the community like zombies with nowhere to go. You took all their stuff and put it in a trash compactor dump truck. Or you put it in a bin and took it somewhere to hold it for 30 days, a 50-yard bin, like you're supposed to go in there and figure out what's theirs. I asked the mayor of Fresno point blank at a round table. I said, Mayor Ashley Swanson, I said, you know my church is a commercial ground. I said, why don't you allow me and us pastors here to open up our churches and our grounds so they can have a safe place to live? I'm talking to you about a Christian mayor here called Ashley Swanson. You know what she told me in front of all these activists and ministers? She said, Harris, I am not going to allow you to open up your church, your grounds, where they can set up tents. That's what she said. I bring an alternative to what she's doing, destroying them, hurting them, throwing away their personal items. And she told me I could not, and if I did, she would have the city on my back trying to shut my church down. But these are Christian politicians. So I'm going to say this before we go to Dr. Jean Kennedy. I know that I'm very passionate about this conversation here. I have a member named Patch who we met out at the homeless encampment. We had a standoff with the government here about 4 or 5 years ago, Highway Patrol, Caltrans, Fresno, the sheriff, and this is where we met our brother. He's a member of my church now, and he has his own radio show that I've given him dealing with homeless issues here. It was Real Talk with the number one doctor. This is Dr. Harris and Dr. Dean Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia, the big ATL. ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Kennedy, welcome to Real Talk with the number one doctor. Welcome to the show. We're glad to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother. Well, that's not an understatement, ladies and gentlemen. When Reverend Harris says he's very passionate about that subject, you can bet that he is. It goes to the very core of who he is, his title as a pastor, as a shepherd, as a father, all the titles that anyone can possibly have living on the planet Earth. To be that passionate, that is a God spirit that is within you, my brother. And I, for one, am very pleased to know you as a friend, as a comrade, as one of the soldiers in the fight for justice. You know, when you told me this morning, because, you know, we are 3 hours different, so I'm up and about at 6 o'clock, I'm ready to get up. I've done my meditation for the day, and I'm ready to get showered and get my makeup on and get ready to face the world. Phone call to you, and it's only 3 o'clock your time, and I have to respect that. And so this morning when you called me early and said you feel like you go to bed and when you wake up, it's like a soap opera, like it's a whole nother day of different things going on. And I said, okay, so what have you seen today in the media or in the paper? Because I'm expecting you to come on with something heavy duty. Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Harris hits me at that time of the morning with the news that California, one of the leading states on many things, because whenever we pass things in California, it's only a matter of time before the rest of the states take on to that. And California has declared themselves as an emergency state because of the homeless situation. So when my brother talks about being passionate, and this is one of his passions, he's not just saying that for a fanfare. He is as serious as he can be. He was very serious when he opened up the opportunity to have them come in, because I was also attending a church, and I asked our pastors if they would open up their church, and they came up with all kinds of excuses as to why they could not open up the church. As it turns out, my pastor at that time was in partnership with the city of Fresno. We're talking about the city of Fresno in this particular case. And it was going to be a conflict of interest for him to open up any parts of his church doors. I said, well, could you maybe have them just be in tents outside in the parking lot then? Just in tents. And we have a kitchen. We can get porta potties, and we can just at least help them until the state can come up with something that can work. And again, he says, no, we couldn't do that, simply because he has one of the city councils attending his church. The mayor is in partnership with many of the community outreach things they do. The police department is in many of those situations. And so, unfortunately, he was not able to do that. And I guess you have to do what your heart tells you to do. But here you were, Reverend Harris, ready and able to open up your church doors, and would have been willing to do that if you weren't threatened to be cited. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do not believe that people get cited, there are business people downtown who knew that there were homeless people staying in the front of their shop front, in the front of their shops, or in the alleys. And they went ahead and allowed them to do that, just closed a blind eye, only to find notices put on their shop front saying, if you entertain homeless people staying in your doorways or in the back of your alleys, you will be cited. So the city of Fresno was not joking. They were as serious as a heart attack. They intended to cite people if they were going to break their rules. Now, I wonder how cities like Fresno, L.A., San Francisco, we can go on and on and on, get your map and look at all the various cities that makes up the state of California. I wonder how they feel today, those who had a hand in the situation of the demise of our homeless people not getting the help they needed, as well as those who could have done something and did nothing, as well as those who preached a gospel that said, if you see a person who's poor, don't give them any money, because the Bible says if you don't work, neither should you eat. My goodness, how can they go back into Old Testament and pull a scripture that has a lot more content to it, but they want to take that one little word out, that one little piece out, and make a doctrine out of that? And I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, who are listening to our show tonight, I want to say to you, both as an organizational psychologist, I'm a behavioral scientist, both as a compassionate person, both as someone who also identifies myself as being Christ-like. I follow Christ's teachings. That's whom I follow. And also a person who's a humanitarian, a person who is about creating a place that is a peaceful place to live in. I want to say to you, if you see a homeless person after you listen to the show and you choose to not give them a dollar or a penny, you choose to give them nothing but think to yourself, hey, I'm not going to help you. You have got to answer to a much higher calling, because you don't know if that person was an angel. You don't know whose child or whose husband or whose demise or what caused that person to be in that situation. Who are you to be judging someone that way? The Bible says if you judge someone one way, you will be judged likewise. Now, I know this is not a preachy show, I'm not even sure why I jumped into the water, but I can feel the Spirit on the show tonight, Brother Harris. I just feel the Spirit. And you know why? Because Jesus himself used three principles. He didn't allow it wasn't the disciples who spoke about somebody being in prison, somebody being naked, somebody who needed to be fed. It wasn't the disciples. That was Christ himself. He said, when I was naked, did you come and clothe me? When I was in prison, did you come and visit me? When I was hungry, did you feed me? And the crowd said to him, and his disciples said, well, Master, when were you naked? You were with us all the time. When were you naked? When were you hungry? When did you need being clothed? And he said, and listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, why we're saying what we're saying tonight, because we're trying to save your soul. We're trying to make sure that you don't put politically being correct over the righteous thing to do. Christ himself said, if you do this to the least of them, you have done it unto me. Let me say it again. If you do it to the least of them, you have done it unto me. So I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have been taught that you don't take care of homeless people, that you leave them alone to their own demise, after all, they must have caused something in their lives to happen this way, whatever your philosophy is, as of tonight, you cannot say you've not heard two people who are passionate about a situation and passionate about human beings and passionate about people and people's rights, because when you violate even the rights of a homeless person, you are violating their human rights, their civil rights, and their amendment rights. So we hope that even tonight, as we're talking about this, and there's a lot of political ploy that's around this, you know, poverty is a $1 million business in this country. Look how much things are fed into poverty. It is a $1 billion business for a nation that claims to be a super nation, that wants to be a leader. Today we have the Pope visiting the United States of America for the first time. Have you listened to the message that he has given from the White House? Have you listened to the way he has spoken and supported the people about the environmental issues, about humanity, about being kind to one another? Have you listened to what the Pope has had to say? He's not trying to get everyone to become a Catholic. He's simply speaking truth to power. That is what we do on the show tonight. So if we could have persuaded you one way or the other, we're not persuading you to vote for one party or the other. This is not about whether the Republicans get in or the Democrats get in. This is about how you treat a homeless person that is in your community so that your state doesn't turn around and declare their state to need help from the federal government. To bail them out of a situation. That should never be a crisis. Where there are churches and faith communities and nonprofit organizations and corporations, that is a shame. California ought to be ashamed to even have put themselves in that position to declare themselves in a state of emergency because of homeless people being there. That is a shame. That is a shame. It is a shame.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have. You have Dr. Gene Kennedy. Dr. Gene Kennedy out of Atlanta, Georgia. She needs no introduction. No introduction. She's known all over the land. She's known from coast to coast. And we just thank her for her input of what she said today. You know, we're at our last about 13 minutes of the show. We'd like to thank those who called in, and please go back to the archive and listen to the rest of the show. I'd like you to, Dr. Kennedy, why don't you give your information out for your Facebook and what have you, so those may want to hit you up on Facebook and may have a question for you.
Yes, and we have presented a problem to you, but we're not just about always giving you problems. We're also solve problems. We're problem solvers people. And so maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have an idea of what can be done. And again, we have a few ideas of our own. We may not have enough time on the show tonight to present that. But surely, if you are involved in ministry, you can have that conversation with your congregation about how can we help the homeless people just right within our radius. If you just took care of your own zip code, if every church took care of their own zip code in terms of the needs in that community, what a better place we would have. If we would just take the tithes that we tithe in and take 10% back out of the entire tithe that a church gives, The pastor has his money. The administration has their money. The operations have their money. If you just took a tenth of all the money that is given to the church and use that for your outreach ministries and begin to service your own zip code, just start in there. Just start in there. It's amazing what would happen. If every church took care of their zip codes, areas, I think that we would begin to really do what Christ would do if he was on earth. This is a little teeny pebble in the water. And I know that there are churches that are doing great work, but there's no excuse for us. We're about the whosoever will, and that includes those who have and those who do not have. The Bible says that is given, much is required. You know who you are. You know what your socioeconomic status is. Just don't boast about having it, but what do you do with it? And if you're doing it, challenge yourself to do a little bit more, because as you do to the least of these, you do unto the Lord. I am on Facebook, Dr. Jean Kennedy. Look that up. We have a new Facebook that we're putting together in the next few days on a case that I am working with here in Georgia. I intend to change some legislation that is here in Georgia. When you visit the state of Georgia, there are people that can get arrested just for visiting the state of Georgia. Did you know that? Just to visit beyond 30 days. Do you know that there are some states that will actually be arrested individuals? So we're doing a campaign to see how we can change some of those laws so that you don't come to Georgia and visit. And if you're one of those individuals who's visiting a state, you may find yourself in a position where you're being arrested, and now your friends and loved ones have to find a way of bailing you out of jail. So, again, you'll be hearing more of that. But go to my Facebook and visit that. Go to Reverend Harris's Facebook and look and see what he's doing. And support his church. Support ministers like Reverend Harris, who's not afraid to take that gospel, to take the example, the legacy of Martin Luther King, and to continue that way. Because, again, the march didn't just stop at Washington. The march continues. An injustice to one is an injustice to all. I am so thankful that God has given me the gift, both in an academic setting and both just in terms of my own gifts and both those that feeded into my life to be an organizational psychologist. I thank God that I can look at organizations and identify their diagnosis and make recommendation for change and be able to see what needs to happen. And so, again, we're all in this together, and we are as strong as the weakest link. So let us help one another. We are one another's keepers. And so we're so thankful for this wonderful show that's back on the air again, where we can speak truth to power. Reverend Harris, also our Facebook. Please hit us up on our Facebook. If you've got a comment to make, please go ahead and share your comment. And listen, we make no apology for our passion. Should I say that again? We make no apologies for being passionate about the way we present the show. We are passionate, and we are as passionate as if we went to a football game and our team was winning. So we will not be silent. We are going to be as passionate as we need to be, because these are serious conversations that we're speaking about, and we feel that we're doing the master's work even when we do our radio show. Reverend Harris, do you have anything else to say, sir?
Thank you, Dr. Kennedy. We want to share our Facebook with you. That's Real Talk, WITH, the number symbol, number one, DRS. That's Real Talk with WITH, the number symbol, one, DRS. Hit us up. That's our new Facebook. All of our radio shows will go to that Facebook after the archives. You can go back and check them out. We will be uploading old shows that we've had when we first started, which are very historical. We had MAPA, Brown Berets, a lot of stuff, the movement that I started in Vallejo, California. Just a lot of good stuff that we've done in the past. I think that you will sit back and enjoy, maybe on a Friday evening or just an evening time when you're having a cold glass of Kool-Aid or just kicking back with your family. I mean, this is what this radio show is about. We are on our pulse 24 hours a day. We have our hand on the pulse of our community here across the United States. We have broken the United States in half. Dr. Kennedy got one half of the United States, and I got the other half. And so, you know, we really, really, really want to empower our people and deal with and operate on the injustices that is going on. That's why we're called Real Talk with the number one doctors. I mean, what do doctors do? Doctors operate. Doctors analyze. They do research. And so that's what we do today. And we will not apologize. I will not apologize for anything I have said in the past. I will stand on it until I go in my grave. And while I'm in my grave, I'm going to still be standing on it or laying on it or whatever you want to look at it. And so the fact of the matter is that America is going backwards. America is sinking. America is drowning. And so we're trying, you know, and if you're drowning, if you're in a boat, for lack of better words, and the boat sinks, I believe that it's my job and Dr. Kennedy's job to throw your life jacket. But if you don't have enough sense to put on the life jacket, then you're gonna die anyway. So we're throwing a life jacket of hope. We're throwing a life jacket of understanding. We're throwing a life jacket of righteousness. We're throwing a life jacket of justice, equality, and freedom for all people. And so, you know, at the end of the day, it's really your decision on what you want to do. At the end of the day, it's your decision. If you feel that you have been done unjustly, it's your decision to stand up and to speak. That's why God has given you a mouth to speak. That's why God has given you legs to walk and to march. I mean, when you look at our ancestors in the 60s and the 20s, I mean, Dr. King and all of them and during that era of time, when things happened, they just didn't sit down and cry and whine. They got their tennis shoes on and then they laced them up, and they got put their pants on, and they organized the women to make a pot of rice and beans and what have you, and to open those churches where we could go in there and organize and strategize about how we're going to change policy. Because what Dr. Kennedy is talking about, the case in Atlanta, Georgia, is about policy. And I explained to her last night, her case is just like Rosa Parks, the bus boycott. It is similar to the bus boycott that Mother Rosa Parks was arrested on. And so Dr. Jean Kennedy was arrested. Many people don't believe that she's arrested. When I tell people that, they kind of laugh at me and chuckle like, not Dr. Kennedy. That's not even her character. It has nothing to do with your character. We're dealing with a system that doesn't care about your character, doesn't care about your constitutional right, it doesn't care about your human rights. So that's why we have this radio show, to educate everyone who wants to know and wants to understand how to speak out for yourselves. This is what the real talk with the number one doctors is. And we spend a lot of time researching and talking to people across the country. I mean, it's 24/7. I mean, I don't have an 8 to 5 where I just, you know, I'm on the clock 24/7, 24 hours a day. For you, for your children, for your future. This is what this is about, family. This is what this is about, Real Talk listeners. Time has passed. Go ahead, Dr. Kennedy. We have 2 minutes, Dr. Kennedy. Go ahead and take us out.
Yes, I just felt led to say this. I want to say that if those of you who are listening to our show and you're getting a blessing out of this, you're getting something, and you want to tithe somewhere, you don't know a ministry or a program to invest in or to tithe in, I invite you to tithe in Reverend Harris's church. Look him up on the Facebook and tithe in his church, because they are doing good work. They're not just keeping church in the four walls. They are out there on the corners with their protesting. Just look at some of the videos. And so if you've been praying about where can I invest my money in, if you're an organization and you want to partner with a faith-based organization nationally or internationally, think about Reverend Harris's church. And if you are a person who was raised to tithe, to seed into good ground, I encourage you to seed into his church's good ground. It will come back to you tenfold. And so pray about that. And if there's even one person who's listening to this, you allow Reverend Harris to be able to get out, to come to your community, to do the kind of work that needs to happen. We are available for you to invite us to come in and do presentations or workshops. So if you need us to come into your communities, let us know. Hit us up again. It's on our Facebook so that we can be there to help you lift up the heavy load. You don't have to lift it by yourself. We are here to also support you. If you want to come on our show as a guest, hit us up on our Facebook. Let us know what your story is. There's nothing like storytelling. It gets to the hearts of people. So, again, we're so pleased to be here tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be passionate and sharing ourselves with you and being righteous in the name of Jah. Peace. peace and love.
Bob Marley tells us what, Dr. Kennedy? He says, he tells us one thing.
One love. One love. One love.
One love. We'll say goodnight. Tune in tomorrow. 3 o'clock. We'll have a hot show for you. Good night.